All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, presented by the Nation Network. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
People can hear us laughing like over the intro. They won't know why.
Recording in progress. If you're wondering why we're laughing to start the intro, now Zoom did an update. So we've been recording this podcast over Zoom for a year now, but they just did an update. So now when Tyler presses record, we get a message saying recording in progress. And then when it ends, she lets us know that we're done.
Because the big red dot for you guys, recording doesn't let you know that it's being recorded.
Yeah, but you guys do this a couple times a week, right? Like I do this once a week. So I always forget about this thing. And she pops on. I'm like, it startles me every time. And I get the notification up on my screen. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, hold on.
It's game time. I just like it. Focus on the screen.
I just like it. I find it fun. All right. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 142. I'm Bag Milk here with Tyler Remchuk, Nation Dan, and Rick. We are going to break down the world of the Edmonton Oilers and the NHL at large. We've got a lot of things on the list. At least that's what Tyler says. I was trying to add more, but he said no. But first, we shout out our friends at Sherwood Ford, the giant out in beautiful Sherwood Park, Alberta. Go on out to get yourself a Bronco. I don't know who did this Photoshop. Dan, do we know who did this Photoshop? Is that Jared? Jared and sales?
Don't, actually. I'm not sure.
There is a Nation Photoshopped Ford Bronco along with Sherwood Ford graphics on it. And I can't imagine that the four of us wouldn't look pretty sweet with those all different colors, maybe orange, maybe blue. Maybe someone even gets the dark navy, like the third jersey.
Can I get the new one? The new white, the really nice crisp white and the orange?
Like a kitted out, like a reverse retro truck?
Yeah,
I think that looked really nice.
I'll keep it clean. I'll wash it more often than Jay.
Absolutely. Jay's talking about a $3 wash, but I still feel like he's ducking on that one. But anyway, that is another story. Go ahead and follow Sherwood Ford on Twitter, at Sherwood Ford, on Instagram, at Sherwood Ford _ the giant. Service, parts, vehicles, whatever you need, they've got it all. Sherwood Ford. And they're all very, very handsome, by the way. Mm. Just throwing that in there. Tyler? Please kick us off with the Sherwood Ford Giant question of the week.
The Sherwood Ford Giant question of the week. I have it up on our Twitter, up on our Instagram, so people could chime in before we started recording. But keeping it realistic, that is the caveat to this. Who is your dream offseason acquisition for the Edmonton Oilers? Who should be target number one, whether it's trade, free agency, whatever? Who is target number one for Ken Holland? That is your giant question.
Gentlemen, who wants to start? Or do I get to be selfish and start?
Give her.
Seth Jones. That's the answer. Seth Jones. Is it realistic? Probably not. But when he said he is going to test free agency, that's the number one on my wish list. The Oilers need a number one defenseman. And he would be that on this team anyway. Tyler is shaking his head at me. No, he doesn't like my wish.
We can circle back and fight about it after everyone else gives their answers for dream acquisition.
Already getting squared up on Vegmo.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a fighting episode. I can feel it coming because we've got a topic later on that could also prompt another one. Here we go. Dan, who you got? Who's your number one on your wish list?
My number one addition that I think is realistic is a Tuukka Rask in net. I think that he comes in at an age number where it would work out for the goalies that are developing behind him to be able to come up afterwards. And I've been the guy that's been kind of pushing for that 1A, 1B goaltender in the offseason. So Tuukka Rask, my big acquisition.
I'm leaving Tyler last because he's disappointing me today.
Yeah, fair enough.
Rick, you're next up. Number one on your wish list. Frank, you settle down. You're last.
He's putting in his own two cents, so he doesn't like that either. No, you know what? So I'm going to look at a UFA here because going Bag Milk's route, you have to see if you meant to make some subtractions, right? So you're going to lose some guys in order to get this. So it's going to change shit. That's where I like bring someone in here for free. And I'm just looking at this list here, and there's the name that stands out the most to me. I just don't think is realistic, so I'm not going to choose him. That's Landeskog. So it comes down to two players to me. And I think I'm going to go with Dougie Hamilton because I do like that first line, that number one defenseman type of a situation. And I think he'd just probably be a little bit more valuable than my second one's going to be Taylor Hall. But I think, based on this as a UFA, so we don't lose anything in bringing him in. We're just bringing him for free. I think Dougie Hamilton is the way to go.
All right, Wet Blanket, you're up.
For people who have listened to my take on this, they're going to know it's a trade target and it's the boy, Ricard Raquel, a guy who can play either wing, help out on the power play, play top 6 minutes, is fine defensively, has a good shot, knows how to finish. Ricard Raquel, man, he might cost a little bit in a trade, but his cap hit is low this season and you can re-sign him after that. So I really like the fit of Ricard Raquel in this Oilers top six. He is a bit of a dream. It's a little realistic, but definitely not something I'm banking on, but I'd love for the Oilers to get their hands on someone like Raquel this offseason.
So, I actually like Ricard Raquel, Tyler.
Yeah,
like,
I love
you're
Raquel.
Just dismissing of my idea.
Well,
why do you hate Seth Jones? I know he's signed. It would be a trade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but the reason I don't like Seth Jones is because I'm not sold on him as a legit number one stud defenseman. I think if he's paired with the right guy, he can play in your top pairing. I think he's a damn good second pairing guy. He can handle his own on the top pair, but he's not that finishing piece that, like, he's not in the Hedman conversation or the Makar conversation. He's in that next tier for me. And you have a number one defenseman in Darnell Nurse. He played like a number one defenseman this year. You can't really argue it. And the problem with Jones is that you're going to have to give up a first round pick and then something to get him from Columbus this year. And he's a UFA at the end of next year. So he could potentially walk. There's no guarantee. So the issue with Jones is that you have to give up two really good assets for him. And if you do get him signed, you're still going to have to pay probably $8 million a season for him. And I don't think he's worth that. I like Rick's idea. If you think the Oilers need a number one defenseman, go get Dougie Hamilton. Pay the money because you're okay paying the money, clearly, but save the first round pick and save the prospect and just jump straight in and get Dougie Hamilton this offseason. A, he's probably a better defender. He is a better defenseman than Seth Jones. And two, it's just an easier move to make.
And three, we have nice museums here.
I was going to say, like,
the
museums
story
we have is, they're excellent. You know, the art gallery is beautiful.
What's the cost for Raquel? And what's the worry that his contract's going to be overinflated when he signs his next one?
I don't think he costs you. He definitely doesn't cost you as much as Jones does. I bet you, like, Jones, I think, would cost you a first and like a good prospect. I think Raquel costs you a first. And if you throw in a prospect, you might get something back.
And now, what do you think his contract is when he has to sign? Because he obviously going to have him for 1 year and not going to move on from him from there. You're going to have to re-sign him. For sure, maybe you want to do a little more research than off the top of your head. But what do you think that kind of contract looks like? Because that's going to be a huge factor in making that move.
Well, he'd be making $3.79 million next season. And I bet you his next deal, even if he comes here and shoots the lights out, because it's still flat cap world, he's $5.5 million, $5 to $5.5 million in that range if he comes here and has a good season.
And he's going to be in your top six?
Yeah, he'd be my top six left winger. I'd play him with Nugent or McDavid or Drysdale.
Then, having one, if not two left wingers, both at 5.5, Just saying that if that's what we get Nugent or whatever, then yeah, no, I can see that going forward as being a good thing.
I'm just not as high on Jones as some people are. And when I look at the problems for the Oilers, I went on my little rant about this last episode, but they need goals. Like, their defense isn't really a problem. The right side of their blue line with Larson, Bouchard, and Bear is kind of good enough, in my opinion. And I don't think their top nine is good enough. So if I'm going to see Ken Holland spend assets and significant money on something, I would like Seth Jones here, but I think it's a luxury item. I don't think it's something they absolutely need to do. So I'd rather they address the needs before they go shopping for luxury shit.
Well, see, I think that I take umbrage with the fact that we do need defense to be better, because the defense was like a really strong point of our offense in the regular season, and that disappeared in the playoffs. And we haven't talked about that very much. I don't think a lot of people have talked about that.
We had no offense in the playoffs, though.
But the defense was a part of it. The defense is going. If you have that as your, if you look at,
but the defense did their job, and the defense did their job.
Defense held the Jets really well.
Exactly, and we failed in getting offensive goals.
But when you look at that as a, so saying that the Oilers need secondary scoring, in the regular season they had their secondary scoring from the defense. Fair enough to say. That's a
sure, but their defense supplied some offense. Sure,
their defense is like one of the top five producing defenses in the league this year.
In order for that though, you need to have an offense that is potent as well to attract all the defenders that way, to leave the defenseman wide open at the blue lines.
Well, but I think you can always
upgrade your defense always.
Yeah. And I think that my thing is that if you continue to upgrade the defense, I'm of the mindset that Klefbom isn't ever going to play hockey again. That's just kind of where my head is at right now. And I hope that he proves me wrong, but I think
that this team
does need to take another step forward in its defensive stuff. And so, bringing in a Dougie Hamilton is a really good option. I mean, I would like
Dougie Hamilton too, by the way.
But that's a lefty-righty conversation. That's a lefty-righty conversation.
I thought Hamilton's a
righty. If you lose Klefbom.
Hamilton is a righty.
Right. Yeah, and the Klefbom's a lefty. So if Klefbom's gone, you're not just moving one up. They've proven they don't really like doing that. I don't know if a lot of teams in the league do that anymore. Yeah,
no, but like to me, you look at Hamilton as a replacement for Tyson Barrie.
Okay, so then you're trading one of Bear or Bouchard?
Or you're not bringing back Larson. You're
not bringing them back.
Depends what
there's all kinds of options you could do there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just gives you more options to do a move like that, provided you want to.
And you don't have to make that move either. Like, everybody was harking. Like, they were talking about it actually today on Dropping the Gloves with Ken Reed, about how Leaf fans, they seem to overvalue the seventh and eighth defensemen on their teams, and they just want to see them playing all the games. And I find that there's a little bit of that leeching into the Oilers fandom, where it's like,
oh man, that, I wouldn't say leeching in. I would say that is fucking roaring through town.
Yeah.
It's just with Bouchard.
But it's real though. Like, I guess last year, with the way it was with COVID and everything, that pushing him into lineup was a little bit tough. But without COVID and stuff, he was most likely going to be AHL for the majority of the year. But he is at the cusp, right? So to have someone sit there and go, he should be playing, they're a little bit wrong, but they're not totally wrong.
No, and I'm not saying that,
right?
They
so,
are,
but he's at a point right now. You can't That's have him point. As your number seven going to next year. He's got to be one of your top three, or you've got to.
I don't know. If he's
on.
Not
you
good
can't
enough,
put him there.
If he's not good enough to be in the top six with a Dougie Hamilton addition, then it is what it is. Like, and maybe, yes, you do have to make a transaction there, but at the end of the day, you don't have to, because he's under contract.
You don't know if he's going to be good enough or not, because he's never got the opportunity.
Well, he did get the opportunity. He played 15 games this year, and he was good in all of them. Or all of them except one against Toronto.
That's fair. But that, going forward into the next year, I can see that's 100%. I think even Tippett or Holland came on and said it. He's in the lineup, sort of, whatever, coming next year.
I just don't think if you can get Dougie Hamilton at the number that you value him at, you turn that down because, well, I have to make a decision about the other
1,000%.
Well,
that's my thing.
Okay, but
I'm with Dan. 1,000%.
Dougie is going to cost you like seven,
eight mil,
maybe. But like, that's what I'm saying. That's where the conversation obviously wavers, right? If we're talking $9 million for Dougie Hamilton, yeah, then you don't make that transaction. But if you have an internal value of say $7.5 million, $8 on Dougie Hamilton, and he agrees to $8 million for your team, you don't worry about what you have to do with the rest of the guys in the lineup, because he comes in and makes your defense better.
You can make a transaction. Wouldn't it be nice for once if the Oilers could actually trade from a position of strength? Wouldn't that be great?
Okay, but
are you not training for business strength then? Because you have too many right-handed shots.
So
they know you're going to be like not willing to stand up as long because you need to get rid of
them. But who says you got to make a deal? Who says
you don't have to make a transaction?
You don't have to do anything.
You're going to keep Bouchard in as your seventh?
If you have to, or you go in the AHL. Yeah.
You're going
to
put...
That's what the AHL's for.
No, and the reality is that he's done his AHL time.
Yeah, but according to you, though.
He's done.
What clock is there on the
AHL time? I don't think he's done. I don't think he's done.
AHL
based on his usage. Based on his usage this year, I don't think the organization thinks he's done, or else he would have played.
No, you couldn't get him. He was in that weird spot where, yes, he would have been in the AHL if it wasn't COVID, but they needed him on, at the drop of a hat just in case, therefore couldn't go down. Last year would have been the last of his – like, he'll never go see the AHL ever again.
No, he's done in the AHL. Ken Holland said that.
But if he's not good enough to be in your
he
top six.
He is good enough.
No, he is good enough. The conversation you guys are presenting
you're so stuck on it. It's like
we signed Dougie Hamilton. Then you ask the question, what do we do Bouchard. with the less good player?
Or you could trade Bear.
Yeah.
The other side of this argument I'm going to present.
It gives you options to make
a move. It does, and I get that.
Or you could play Bouchard in the AHL and see how things go.
Because injuries happen, you guys. Right, like it's not the end of the conversation to say that, you know, just because you have a top six that is the top six.
I want to see the reaction of everybody here when in 6 months from now they say, okay, we're going to put Bouchard down into the minors.
If they have Dougie Hamilton ahead of them, yeah. I would not mind that one. I would not mind one bit.
Okay, here's the other side of this, though, is that they don't have infinite money. But let's say they have $10 million to spend once they take care of, you know, a goalie and they get Larson back, or I guess you don't even have to include Larson. But if they have $10 million and Hamilton costs you $8 million, that means you have like $2 million to get a forward. What if you can take that $10 million and that's enough to get you Coleman and Saad? Like, to me, two good UFA forwards, the way the UFA forward market's looking, is way more impactful to this team than a luxury piece like another good blue liner. They have a pretty deep blue line right now.
100%.
And they probably could benefit from a lefty versus a righty. Like, if you said $8 million on Dougie Hamilton, or take that $8 million and give me Alexiak and Saad, I'd probably take Alexiak and Saad as a duo, just because the Oilers need depth right now. And that's why I kind of scoff at the idea of an expensive D-man.
So handcuffing ourselves with a Dougie...
You're also doing the thing Oilers fans do, that just assuming Brandon Saad wants to sign in Edmonton.
Okay, but if it's not Saad, then give me Coleman. And if it's not Coleman,
I guess take a run at Hyman. Over and over again.
And that's
if you try for four of those big name UFAs, one of them is likely going to sign with you. You're the Edmonton Oilers. You have Connor McDavid. Someone will value that.
But I think that the conversation has just been like we said, if $8 million is what the organization values Dougie Hamilton as an Edmonton Oiler at, and he agrees to that, then you take that. You don't scoff at that because yeah. And I'm not saying that that's the number that the Oilers are
spending. You spend that money elsewhere. You roll with the three guys.
If you can upgrade your defense, you do it.
I know, but you also need to upgrade your forward group right now.
Exactly.
So then you can trade Bear or Bouchard if that's your route.
And that's not neither one of them are going to bring in the type of value you could get out of a guy on the UFA market right now using that $8 million.
That's conjecture. That's pure conjecture. You have no idea what a player would sign in Edmonton for. Just because Connor Tyler doesn't mean shit.
I think Tyler
but you look outside Edmonton and see if anyone's going to have any type of actual value for Bouchard or Bear.
Raquel. I think
you could sell for one of them.
You could sell. Yeah, you could sell any team on the future value of Bear or a Bouchard for a top end winger like a Raquel or a DeBrusque.
Begmilk and Dan, I think you guys are assuming that I like hate the idea of it. I don't like if they sign Hamilton, like I'm cool with it. And yeah, you'd have to move one of the youngsters, and like that's fine too. You got to win that trade, but you can make the move. I just think looking at this market, there's so many good UFA wingers right now, and I would just prefer to see them go after that and bring in two impactful wingers and re-sign Nuge and build up a forward core that looks like Colorado's right now.
Again, I the Oilers need a bunch of forwards, but I'm just saying if you can upgrade your defense because Dougie Hamilton wants to show up in Edmonton, you take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the other thing too, that we're seeing in this playoffs. Yes, Colorado is the exception to the rule right now, but they are one of the deepest forward groups we've ever seen. And yes, I'd love the Oilers to be there, but I don't think that that's going to happen over this offseason. The reality is we got beat by a team that had a bigger defense than us. And yes, our defense played well, but
we couldn't score. Same thing with, that's
same
why
thing
we
with
lost.
The, same thing with Toronto the Toronto had
one of the deepest forward groups.
We couldn't score.
Same thing with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay, but
we couldn't score. They didn't stop us. We couldn't score.
If your argument is
they score. Lost.
If your argument is that no, you need to build a blue line like if your argument is you want to build a blue line like Montreal or Winnipeg has, then you're not going after Jones or Hamilton. You're going after Alexiak or you're going after Savard.
What I'm doing is you make the defense better and then the defense plays more confident. That's the thing that I think we all kind of agreed on is that this team didn't play confident. Like they were playing scared. No, you don't.
And you
know,
well, I don't think
tentative.
A defense embarrassed doesn't
said they were
make...
playing afraid.
Okay,
they
but like
playing tentative.
I don't think Dougie Hamilton or Seth Jones will suddenly make your team like more or less.
If your
afraid.
Defense is better, the defense is more confident.
But what if straight Dougie up. Hamilton just plays afraid? I don't know. Like that's confidence is a totally different argument.
What if you go sign a bunch of forwards and you're happy with your defense as is, and you get a Toronto situation where you have forwards, but no, your defense takes a step back and you get fucked again.
Okay, but they got fucked because their star players didn't show up. They didn't get fucked because of their blue line. Their defense
Come
was
on.
Good.
Okay, so
Montreal ran the cycle
up and
a bunch of times in Toronto zone. A bunch
Michael
of times.
Doesn't score no goals, man. You want to hang on the
score.
Corner all game and skate around the perimeter.
Zone time matters, dude. Zone time matters.
It does. But like, I don't know.
We had the zone time and we got swept.
Yeah. I don't
know.
All
the analytics and we got swept.
Yeah, because this team relies on two players to score all its goals.
So they should get more than two players who can score goals.
But that's the thing.
That's you can do both. If you have a chance to upgrade your defense, you upgrade the defense.
I think you tie your hands if you do a Dougie Hamilton's contract.
Yeah, it's coming back to the fact that the number has to make sense for the Oilers and their internal number.
Well, whatever his number is going to be too high anyways. Like even his low side number is going to be like 7-something. That's probably a little bit too high for us right now.
But don't you
put
also
on a defenseman
think
when we need to like really worry about getting that guy to play next to Connor?
That guy, whoever that guy is also going to cost too much.
Okay, but he's going to be playing next to Connor and hopefully producing. And keeping Connor here happy. And keeping Connor
happy. I think the reason the winger might not get as overpaid is because you can
count. It's Edmonton, dude. It's Edmonton.
There's more of them, though.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, well, I could say that it's Edmonton argument for Hamilton, too, right? Like, it's Edmonton. They're going to have to overpay. But, like, there's one damn good D-man on the market this year, and it's Hamilton. And Jones is available via trade. When you look at the forwards, there's a laundry list of good forwards that are on the market, especially with the expansion draft coming up and teams that might be losing good forwards as well. Like there's rumors Pittsburgh might trade Jake Guentzel. Like there's forwards available. And that's why I think the price on some of these guys might get driven down a little bit. Like people are talking about Tatar. I think Tatar is going to have to take a 1-year deal somewhere. Like I don't think he's getting scooped up 2 days into free agency. So I think the market's a little flooded with forwards and that's why the opportunity might be there to actually nab two of them without having to like, you know, go Lucic mode and give them 6x7 or whatever.
But again,
and thanks to Tyson Barrie for that, because Tyson Barrie signed that 1-year contract. We can use that as an example to try and bring some guys in next year.
You guys are more hopeful of being able to sign free agents in Edmonton than I am.
Well, Edmonton has done a good job of signing free agents in the past.
I don't think it's not
it's never really been like a
which has been the guy that's really been sexy for you the last couple of years.
Okay, but well,
we haven't been able to though.
Well, you can't use hindsight though. Like, look at it in the moment.
What do you mean?
They got Pouliot, they got Sekera, they got Lucic. They went out last year. They got Tyson Barrie.
And did those work well?
Okay, but then Reggie Hamilton did. Might not work well.
Barrie did.
And Barrie.
Well, Barrie did. Yeah, like he executed his plan perfectly.
Reg was Sekera very was solid. Good. It's just unfortunate the people in charge didn't quite healthy. See it that way.
Well, that's another problem that you have to factor in here. This is fucking Edmonton Oilers, the only team without an analytics department. We're still living in the VCR age around here.
That upsets
analytics
you.
Analytics doesn't tell you anything about injuries.
Yeah,
if you can watch movies on
we
a VCR.
We got swept. We won analytics in this turn. We won the analytical whatever in the first round. We got swept in 4 games.
All right, man, cancel your Netflix. I'm not.
But if we
don't use Netflix, I use my fucking PVR.
I'll use the analogy
cancel your PVR.
Of a toolbox for
you
a car.
Cancel
a
PVR.
You're so spicy today, Bagged Milk.
You go to
what are we talking about?
Just you because go to an auto garage.
Everybody has fucking analytics department. We're the ones that are just like, oh, we don't need it. And then you'll point to like Toronto.
Do we actually know this? Where do we know this that we have nothing?
They have a one dude analytics department.
It's like you go to your car mechanic and you have to get something fixed. And one guy has a toolkit that's got everything in it, and the other guy has a hammer and a fucking knife. Which guy are you asking? Like you gotta have everything in your toolkit. Don't get me wrong, Rick. I'm with you. I'm with you that you don't make a team based off of analytics.
No,
that's what the Arizona Coyotes tried to do. But
a couple teams have done that. No one's won the cup yet with that.
But also no team have won the cup run and gun style either. And we're creating a team that is run and gun style with two of the greatest offensive players in the league on it. And we're saying, let's just keep hammering our head through the wall and keep adding a winger, hoping that this one works out for Connor.
We've
never added a winger for Connor. We've never added a winger for Connor. When have we ever
Lucic was supposed to be the winger for Connor.
Lucic was supposed to be the winger for Connor. Ty Ratty was supposed to be the fucking answer.
If you're parking him next to him,
do you expect him not to contribute?
We were just picking things out of our own bag of.
We've ruined Tyler Ennis. We had.
But like, if it's an analytics department, nobody's saying use that to make all your decisions. But it makes no sense to not have one.
No, that's fair.
I'm with you. That's probably where those are at.
It's just like, I don't think anybody should make solely analytics based decisions, but I would like to have a team that actually looks at all this data, has people put it together and say, here, Ken, this is what the numbers say. Do with it as you please.
Do you actually need a department to do that for you? Cause can't you just go to like these websites out there and do it yourself? I get what you're saying, but do you actually
We talked to Paul Maurice about this on the DFO rundown. The data that's available to the public is good, but he said it's like a fraction of what they have. Like the actual shit they're able to dig up and the people who can work like 8 hours a day, like re-tagging games and going back and spotting shit out. Like it's a big difference.
Each team creates their own system as to what they value and what they undervalue and all those kinds of things too, right? And so that's what your team is designed to do, is to figure out what money ball statistic or what physical thing you need to have as a part of the toolbox for Ken Holland to go into negotiations with. But yeah, it's you know, we sit here and we're like, well, Ken Holland was a good GM in Detroit and he's got nothing new going on in Edmonton. It's still just his gut and his, you know, his gumption. I don't know. It's weird.
Speaking of something new, Dan, I want to negotiate a deal with Skip the Dishes.
Yes.
It's going to be from a liquor store. I'm telling you that right now.
I just went and grabbed the beer.
skipthedishes.ca. Get yourself something to eat from all of the wonderful restaurants around Edmonton. Try something new this weekend, maybe. Maybe something that you've always wanted to try, but you haven't yet had the courage to do it. This weekend's the weekend for it. Skipthedishes.ca, tip your driver. They will bring it right to your door. Get yourself fed. Now, back to the Sherwood Ford Giant question. The real answer, the wish list. Can I just give you guys one unrealistic wish, please?
Please be Ovechkin.
Nathan McKinnon.
It's Ovi. Could you imagine the power play with Ovechkin on the half boards?
Okay.
Dude, it's not even that. It's the 5-on-5 playoff types of shifts that I would be most jacked up about. Like the power play, yes. No. But the fact he could go out there and like do what he can do, in that first shift he had in the first round this year, he went and leveled the guy, right? Like what he could do for that first line, I think 5-on-5 would be fantastic. I don't think the power play can get much better.
Could you imagine the power play though? Connor fucking setting him up, teeing him up from his zone.
Okay, but imagine so
Connor's in the middle. Like, who does he pass to?
Yeah,
break his heart not to pass to Leon.
We keep talking about like who could be the power play quarterback. You get Ovi on one side, Draisaitl on the other. McDavid can just be the defenseman. He'll just sit there and they won't move. They'll be stagnant. Chiasen will stand in front. They'll fucking bring him back.
No, Darnell Nurse is now the net front presence because then he can also haul ass and play defense. That's what we're doing. Connor up top, Ovi on this side, Leon on that side, Nuge is the bumper.
No, you know, all of a sudden you're gonna need some real good hands down low because you're gonna have three guys hang up real high. If you get a pass that umbrella, you're gonna have a short little 1-2 pass for banging.
Actually, you can't. The NHL will decide that the power play for the Oilers is too unfair, and they have to actually only keep four guys on the ice. Like, no, you guys can't have a 5-on-4. None of that.
Sales pitch has to be. has to be that, you know what, Ovi, it's pretty it sucks that the lockout took away some of your time and all these different things. You want to beat Gretzky's record? Go to his house.
Yes.
Go to his house.
Are we closer to Russia?
And make it happen. And yes, the climate is as close to home as you want to be.
Exactly.
Well, even in distance, like maybe if you go the other way, is it who's closer to Russia?
Vancouver.
Us or Washington? No, not them.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Washington or us.
All right, let's just back to the realistic options. Anybody else that just kind of is interesting? Because I saw a bunch of Oilers fans.
Halsey, saying, man.
I get it.
But he's gonna be most likely hits July 1 or whatever. I think Boston scoots him real quick. Tyler's definitely
Boston signing the guy, man.
I think they do too. But how, do you keep both him and Jake?
Yeah, maybe.
Like, can they afford to do all this? Like, is it going to fit in there? Because if they don't, then Taylor, I don't think even gets his eight that he's asking for. I think this might be a little too much of a fishbowl for him to really enjoy it right now because Edmonton's Edmonton. But I think he's doing really well in Boston, and he hasn't tried to take the spotlight from the perfection line or whatever. Like, everybody thought he was going to do to Connor here and whatever. Like, I honestly think he'd be a good
Boston
addition.
Has $28 million in projected cap space for this offseason. If they want to get a bunch of guys done, they can get a bunch of guys done. I don't think they have enough money to go, like, dipping into the free agent market. But if they get Hall done, you know, you got to get Krejci done. And then after that, like, DeBrusque has one more year still, so they don't have to worry about him. They might need a goalie because Rask is likely going to walk or potentially walk. Like, they have shit to take care of, but they can take care of their own stuff.
I just thought I said earlier it was going to be Hall or DeBrusque for Boston going forward after this year. They'd have to decide.
Tying in the DFO rundown, Tyler, what about a guy like Zach Hyman?
He's interesting. I think he's really interesting, but my concern is, like, we talk about free agent deals that kind of bite you in the ass a little bit, and Zach Hyman almost has, like, I feel like because people haven't heard about him a lot in the past, they kind of go like, oh, Zach Hyman, like a really good young winger. Hey, the guy's 28 years old, right? So he's not exactly, you know, 23 here. You're signing a guy who is getting towards the back nine of his career, especially if you're going to give him a five-year deal. Like, by years 4 and 5, he's going to be towards the end of his career. So you need to be really, really careful with a player who is coming off a career year hitting unrestricted free agency and had that career year in his late 20s already. He's a risk. Nugent Hopkins is the really safe bet on the free agent market. And that's why ultimately I think they get a deal done with him because he's comfortable here. They know what you're going to get. There's not a ton of risk in bringing back Nuge. There's risk in signing a guy like Zach Hyman, but there's reward as well. If he comes here and clicks with 97, like, I think we're talking about a 30 goal guy.
Let's keep working the list. Blake Coleman.
You have love him. They should announce it right now.
Yeah, I'd love it too.
Coleman's going to opt out of the rest of the playoffs and sign in Edmonton.
Who's paying that fine? I feel like that's a little bit of tampering right there.
What was the offer that we made to Markstrom that he supposedly turned down?
I think it was 7 by 5.75.
What if you offered that to Philip Grubauer? Would you guys be upset at that?
I'd love that.
I would love that.
Grubauer under 6 mil is a steal.
What was that, Tyler? Game 2 against Vegas? They were shelling him. And then Rantanen ended up winning it in OT. So I would love that. Keep working the list here, boys. Thomas Tatar, is that excite anybody?
He's been healthy, scratched in the playoffs in the last two teams he's been on. Like, I just worry he's too inconsistent. But I will say this. The smart play for the Oilers in the flat cap year would almost be to keep, like, $3 million in cap space or maybe it's even Klefbom's LTIR money and you do what St. Louis did with Tarasenko at the beginning of the year, but keep a little bit of money around. And then if there's a guy like Tatar who might hang around until the end of free agency, do the Barry thing. Go Tom. I'd call him Tom because I think we're that close. I'd go Tom 1 year, $2 million
or TT.
His fucking show up. Yeah. TT. Tatar. And I'd try sell him on the Barry deal.
You got to do that with the boxing accent.
Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Wabbit.
If you answered the phone and you said Tom, I think he would just hang up.
What about Tommy? Tommy's got to work.
Yeah, Tommy
might work.
That's informal. Does Michael Granlund excite anyone?
Not really, because I think the biggest name we go for has to be able to play in the top six. And I don't think he's a top six type of guy. So I think we need to focus on that. And once we get that, we can fill holes after that. But I think our number one is to fill in that top six winger. And I think there's only a handful of guys out there that can do that.
Brendan Saad.
Sorry, I just want to say, if you lose Nuge, Granlund's more appetizing to me because he has that versatility.
That two-way thing.
He got mentioned a little bit.
I love Saad. I think Saad's a great fit as well. I worry he's going to cost you too much, but that's a guy who has a history of playing with skill. I don't think he shouldn't cost you more than $6 million. If you can get Brendan Saad in the low fives on a five-year deal, similar to Hyman, he's 28, but he has a longer track record. So that leaves me feeling a little bit safer in that bet. He scored 30 goals before, scored at almost a 30 goal pace this season. I think Saad would be a really nice fit here.
What about Vegas? Sorry, Dan, go ahead.
I was going to say, what about a guy like Nick Foligno?
Bottom six type of guy is okay for the right. Yeah, right.
He'll get overpaid for the bottom six,
whatever. But yeah,
how about he's playing in Vegas right now, Matias Janmark?
I don't hate Janmark, but I worry he's going to get paid too much. We just talked about a guy named Nick, and then you just brought up a bottom six center. Let me morph those two. Nick Bonino. He's an interesting name to me. I'd keep an eye on him.
Nick Bonino. Yeah, he's a center lefty, 10 goals, 16 assists this year, 4.1. But I think a lot of guys are going to get a pay cut this year.
And the another thing with him, and I just remember this. So when I worked at the Jersey City in West Edmonton Mall, I think I've told this story on the podcast before. I was working. Someone called in, said, what kind of Pittsburgh Penguins Stanley Cup stuff do you have? And I was like, well, like cups, mugs, shot glasses, shirts, hats. She goes, put it all on hold. So I put it all on hold. Nick Bonino's wife comes in and picks it all up from the store. And she's from here. And they came and had their Stanley Cup party or part of it here in Edmonton. So that's interesting. He has a bit of a connection to the Edmonton market, even though he's an American.
I'd be into it.
Fact.
I've heard his name has been mentioned around here before.
We've got Harn Ryan Singh doing a lot of Oilers games. The Bonino thing works, you know?
A lot of symmetry here.
It works. Okay. Anybody that I'm leaving off? Oh, here's one. He's a restricted guy. This would be a trade. I'm just interested in your thoughts on it. I don't think it's realistic, but what about a guy like Patrick Laine? It seems like he's just not going to be in Columbus, or I don't know what's going to go
on. His beef was with Tortorella, and Tortorella's gone, so he's staying in Columbus. Friedman dropped that not too long ago. He said he's pretty confident that Laine is sticking around.
What does Elliot Friedman know?
Does that not show like a little bit of, I don't know, lack of something when you have like that big of it? Like, do you think he shut down on his coach? Do you think he was just playing bad? He was giving it all he got and things weren't working for him. Like, I know the four of us probably don't watch a lot of their games, especially when, you know, in a condensed season, we're trying to watch all the Oilers games. That's fair.
Tyler likes Columbus.
What do you think happened there?
I don't think that it was an issue as much as Tortorella made it an issue. Yeah. Like I think if he had gone to another team, he probably wouldn't.
People hate. I see a lot of people hate Torts, but I see a lot of players who played for him love Torts.
But the players that love him are the ones that are the guys that work their asses off.
Or you got to like, I think if you got like the personality where a guy fucking being in your face and pushing you is what gets you forward.
I don't know if he's always like that, though. Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like him, because Bill Belichick, everyone would say the same thing. And they say as soon as the lights are off, the cameras are off, these guys are the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with work, though. Like,
no, I'm just saying what kind of personality he has way when the cameras are off and the pressure of the 60 minutes is in there. And it's like 2 days off. And like, what do you got there?
But if you're in a work environment, though, like I think if your boss, because that's what he is essentially, is if your boss is one of those dudes, it's like when you're on the job, he's fucking pushing buttons all the time. There's some guys that they can't do that.
John Scott talks about it quite a bit because he was with him in New York, and he says that it's just like it wasn't his style of coaching that he liked, but he knows that there was guys on that team that would like go to war for Tortorella because they love that in your face, wake you the hell up and get playing kind of attitude. And it helped them. So yeah,
if you look at Winnipeg, Paul Maurice, I don't think it'd be that terribly different than Torts. Terribly different. Not in terms of like kid gloves and being nice with their words and stuff like that. Like maybe their intensity level is going to be about the same.
Yeah.
They both don't look like very nice people to talk to at that point of the game. Like, though that type of thing is going to, I think they're more close than they are opposites.
A couple other names, Beg Milk, that I wanted to throw out there. One of them is a forward, and that's Jaden Schwartz. Left shooting, left winger. I think that's an interesting one from an Oilers perspective. You know, maybe a guy that fits in your top six if you need to, or if you want to bring in a few wingers. And the other one, and I pitched this out. I think it was on the radio. I don't think it was on one of these podcasts. I don't remember. But like Tyson Barrie came here on a 1-year show me deal, rebounded his value. I wonder if a guy like Freddie Anderson could do that here in Edmonton, where if he's young, he's still got a lot of hockey left in him, but he's coming off a not great season where he was battling some injuries. I wonder if the chance to come to Edmonton, put up some decent numbers and not have a huge workload because Mike Smith is still here. I wonder if a 1-year deal could work for Freddie Anderson here.
I wouldn't mind it, to be honest. It's just a matter of how do you get rid of Koskinen? What, like, is it the buyout route?
Yeah.
Because then I can see it. It's just, there's so many things that just
that buyout thing doesn't look that buyout thing doesn't look too bad. Dusty's posted two rosters so far that he's done on whatever website it is. And he's bought out Neil and Koskinen on both of them, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's got two rosters that I got really jacked up reading about.
I don't think it's
that far.
Okay,
but Freddie Anderson scares me. We're in a fishbowl just as big as Toronto, if not a little bit less because of the people. You make one little mistake, it's getting blown out of the water. And if you come here with Mike Smith next year, it's hopefully in a best case scenario, everybody plays as well as they can. But what happens if Mike falls off a bit, then Freddie's got to take a bigger load.
He's shown he can do that, though.
But what scares you more? Koskinen behind Smith or Freddie Anderson behind Smith? To me, it's not close.
What scares me more is probably Koskinen, just because we know what we're dealing with. What I would prefer is the one that's not option there is somebody else.
I've supported Koskinen throughout, but the book has been written on that guy. And it's like, to me, it's signed and it's sealed and it's published. His glove side is absolutely a joke. And we can't accept that anymore. Like, we can't have that as a, you know, going into the playoffs thinking if Mike Smith doesn't do this, which he did, even then he did it and we still didn't win. But if he doesn't do this, we had no other option. We had nobody to fall back to, where, like we've talked about with this playoff, most teams have had two goalies.
He still had him there. It's just chances are he wasn't going to look. But
I wasn't going to trust him in any of
those
games.
He only looked bad for like 3 weeks before, which is like
and
4 games.
And the start of the season.
Before that, he actually, okay, that's fair because he had the 13 or whatever. So he started off okay and then wore down. There was a time there where it looked like we might be confident. But then he put together like 4 games where they just weren't looking too hot.
Well, but with him, that's been consistent throughout his time, right? He has hot streaks and then he just has a whole boy streak. And like I said, I've been one of the biggest apologists for Koskinen's going into this, and I hate the idea of buyouts. I think that buyouts are really cool until you actually do it, and then it's like immediately afterwards you're like, oh, that's dead money, and I hate that. But for me, I think that you have to go out and find a goalie that, if Mike Smith isn't Vezina quality next year, you have an option to replace him with, because we cannot rely on Koskinen.
The
don't
thing
need
Vezina
quality,
too, though.
You need an average of 920 from both of your guys going forward. You don't need like a Vezina goalie.
What, like, and I made this point on Twitter and I was kind of joking a little with it, but when it comes to Koskinen, what's a bigger waste of cap space? $1.5 million on the books for the next 2 years, but going and getting a competent goalie, or having to keep him on the roster and having that weight there and not being able to go out and afford another goalie because you're riding with Koskinen, and that could sink your season. The same thing with Neil, to a lesser degree on the sink your season side of it, but what's a bigger waste of cap space? 2 years down the road of James Neal being on your books at $1.9 million, which at that point, if the cap's going up, might not be that bad. Or is it having a healthy scratch, $5.75 million for the next 2 seasons?
It's fair. And that's why, like I said, as much as I hate buyouts, I think that that's the option that you have to look at, because at this point nobody's taking James Neal on at his inflated.
Oh, come on, Seattle, they eat a guy with $1 million smile, huh?
Think that's, if you're okay with, and it doesn't save you as much in the short term, but if you half it to Seattle, I think there's a chance there. I think there is a real chance.
Look at
especially when these guys do that other trade where they half it again.
Yeah,
looking at it right now, just if you're listening to this, so in the 2021-2022 season, the Oilers have Sexy Reg on the books at 1.5 and 750 from the Milan Lucic trade. So that's 2.2 already in dead space for the Oilers. All right, let's move along. We talked about the Leafs a little bit. We talked about the Oilers. My question for all of you is this. Which first round exit was more painful? Which first round exit was more painful? While you're thinking about it, I want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. They've got all the insurance products you need to make sure that you are fully covered, be it your person, your house, your car, whatever you need. CornerstoneIns.ca, CornerstoneIns.ca. And if you go on the left-hand side of the screen, there's a little button for Citizens of the Nation. Get yourself a little discount. CornerstoneIns.ca. All right, boys, the question. Sweep in the first round or being one game away from going to the second round and losing three straight to let the wheels fall off? Which would you rather have? Would you rather be us Oilers fans pissed off about a sweep or Leafs fans burning Gilmore jerseys? Tyler, what do you got?
I'd rather get swept. It's quick. It's painless. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid. Our disappointment hit us hard, but it was over quickly. We did not have the drawn out storyline of blowing a 3-1 series lead. So I'm going with that.
I'm with you 100%. Getting swept blows.
It's lame. It's lame, but
nobody wants to get swept. Not winning a game sucks, but blowing three straight games to get knocked out by Montreal is way worse. Not only did they get knocked out, they lost to a original six rival, probably one of the, for Leafs fans, one of the worst teams to get knocked out of the first round in that fashion too. I am with Tyler 1000% sweep. I'll take that all the time if those are my two options. Dan, what do you say?
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of getting a few more games and having some hope into the equation. But I looked at it like a scenario. If I'm getting kidnapped and my options are to either take four to the temple or let my captor tell me that I'm going to be able to escape and then slowly peel my skin off one night at a time.
Jesus, Dan.
I'm going four to a head.
What's happening right now?
Yeah, no kidding. Good Lord.
Hey, you got way too much thought into this. That's really how I feel after getting swept was that I just took four to the chamber and that was it. But yeah, I'd rather not have it drawn out. And like a guy like Steve Dangle, who's the eternal optimist, resigning himself to the fact that they're losing after game six. Like, man, that is a tough.
That is 100%. So I have a couple buddies like that too. That is 100% just trying to speak it into reality. Like, I'm going to play and we're going to lose. And they're just trying to, you know, just trying to work it in. That's what I guarantee you. That's what half the Oilers fans will do too. There is no right answer. That, well, there four is definitely the hurts the least, I suppose.
Is you want a shit sandwich or a shit sandwich with mustard?
They all suck, man. They absolutely, we've gone through it all. We've been through all of them. They're absolutely fucking terrible.
Because the thing for the Leafs fans too is I was digging into Twitter a little bit because I was having hashtag fun. And after game, what would it have been? After game five, when they lost in OT, you could see the mentality starting to shift. Like, oh, this isn't happening again. And then when they lost game six, then it really started to happen. And then when Montreal scored first in game seven, then it was a foregone conclusion.
But those are fans that have been going through like the hell forever. So they're like they anticipate it. We know it because we go through it down our own damn tracks. But as a guy who watches a lot of hockey anyways, even in going into game seven, I was like, there's no way Toronto loses this.
Even in that third period, I was like, no,
Toronto's gonna win this. Like I'm not even getting my hopes up. I'm not even going to talk about the fact that three of us or the four of us on this podcast picked Montreal to win in seven.
We did.
You know, I'm not even bringing it up because it's not going to happen. It doesn't even matter. Like,
was I the only guy?
It's almost like watching. Yeah.
Nice.
But to be fair, we all picked Montreal because we were like, oh, it'll be a better matchup for Edmonton.
It was just, we did it out of spite, to be fair. So.
Did you? Oh, no, I didn't. Today would be game two, guys.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's depressing.
I don't want to talk about it. What I do want to talk about, though, is let's fight again. Mark Scheifele.
Before you order that, before you order that alcohol on Skip the Dishes, I'd like you to remember that tonight could be game two.
Mark Scheifele, gentlemen, the Jets Habs series is going game one. First of all, why couldn't we get that hellebuck? First of all,
no, okay,
that was a problem. But I want to talk. I want to talk specifically about Scheifele's hit. Game was basically wrapped up. Evans closed it out with the empty netter. Scheifele blew him up. Blew him up. The first time I saw the hit was actually Dan posted it on Hockey Fight's Instagram, and I just went, holy shit, because that was a hit from 1996. That's what that was, and those don't really happen anymore. I was
those
shocked
hits don't
by
ever
it.
Happen. Those hits, like that dude traveled 200 feet. It's very rare to see someone get that much runway into a fucking full on hit.
Dan, when you clipped it, because like I said, the first time I saw it was the Hockey Fights clip, and then I saw the different angles and I saw the full thing. Like, you didn't have the whole thing in there, right? You didn't have like the full lead up.
Yeah, I did. I tried to include the icing just to give an idea of how far away from the hit that he was when he started his glide. And I wanted to kind of give that show of the distance that he did glide, because he did at the end of the hit, I will say.
He glides from the top of the circles in.
It was so I just want everybody's take real quick on the hit. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe that was a hit in 2021. And then to say that he was trying to prevent a goal or whatever he said, I was like, no, you weren't, man. You tried.
He was,
to
though.
No. As soon as
you're
he stopped, as soon as he stopped skating, you could tell he made the decision. He stopped skating, started gliding, and went from like, I'm going to try catch this guy and scoop the puck, to like, I'm just going to fucking murder this guy. And he just,
I don't think that he decided to change it till he got to about the top of the crease, when you see his stick come back, because he lost the race, it was over, nothing he could do anymore, the puck was relatively in whether it fully crossed or not, and at that point he's like, yeah, we're finishing it.
Okay,
dude, ball. Like, I'm Mr. Evans, you have to keep your head on a swivel. You have to know where everybody is on the ice. We need to have more respect for ourselves on the ice. If I tape a bunch of $1,000 bills to my chest and I walk through a crowd of people and some people steal them off me, I want nobody to blame the people around me. I'm putting that blame on myself. I put myself in a bad situation. And at the end of the day, that's on me. You easily could have stopped behind the net, tucked it in on the forehand. Ain't nobody ever going to fucking touch them. But they play this a way now where they don't take care of themselves. Yes, you have to like trust that the other guy's not out to hurt you, but at the same time, you're going to be put in weird positions. It's a high-paced game. There's emotions involved. It's dangerous. It can be dangerous. And he put himself in a situation where he needed the other guy to like to go above and beyond in preventing a collision, and didn't. And he, there was two bodies. By the time that puck went in the net, it was far too close to stop. And if you do not give it your 100%, you're going to get called out by your coach.
Okay, so here's my
issue. He had to do what he had to do.
So here's my thing with the hit. If that hit happens, if he connects with Evans as he's wrapping around the net and the puck just glides out into the middle of the ice with Evans' lifeless body laying behind the net, that's a huge highlight for this league. And I don't think that it necessarily gets the same. Maybe it's a charging penalty and whatever, but it's weird that he started to glide and then continued on the hit. That was where I was kind of confused about it.
You can't keep striding because you need to get your balance and everything, and you're going to close in the space. You get closed super duper quick. You can't keep striding. And even that point, if you don't take one or two more strides, maybe it does feel like, you know, you're letting up a bit.
Well, but
you
for
can't
me,
keep striding all the way through the fucking thing though. That's going to be terrible.
For me, the issue is, and then that's where, like Bag Milk said, you can't say that you were trying to stop the play if you stop skating. Like, I don't believe that. If you were trying to stop the play and you came in and you bodied the guy because you were trying to reach for his stick and you just continued to follow through, that's a different conversation. But he slowed down. The puck goes in the net. Yes, it's a split second decision, but he made the decision to continue to glide in on a trajectory that was going to take out Mike Evans and not the net, or not go past Mike Evans kind of thing. Or Jake,
what's
sorry.
He supposed to do though? What's he supposed to do?
Mike Evans is a receiver for the Bucks.
Yes. That's the one I was thinking.
Mike Evans is going to fucking finish that hit too.
Well, that's a I think in the NFL.
My thought was, I didn't buy that he was going for the puck because he didn't make any even just wave at it or anything. It was
all
just,
you're trying to do is
he
like,
was,
you're trying to stop
he was
him,
a
like, right
torpedo
at the post.
Into the guy.
He pulled his stick in. He didn't.
After like, the puck went away. Waving at it. There was nothing like that. So
that's where I'm okay. What do you want him to
like? You're not going to do this. You're going to get out there and just try and poke it. If you can't poke it, you've lost.
Why not?
But like the idea of playing the body while also playing the puck, like, is a thing, right? Like you go in for the hit and try to grab the puck from him at the same time. There wasn't even like 1% of that from Scheifele. He was clearly just like, I'm going to hit this guy as hard as I can. Cause he was already hot, right? Like leading up to that moment, he was pissed off.
What's he supposed to do as the defender? Are you supposed to just let him tuck it in and skate away?
Not hit the player.
You can't say
I'm going for the puck to stop the puck and then actually avoid that collision. I don't think it's physically possible.
With all this said, I think it was dirty. I think it was a really, really dangerous hit from Scheifele. I think four games was dangerous, one too many. Yep. They should have given him three.
Two games either way.
Yeah, like, regular season or playoffs. I don't like the difference.
If they go off the translation of one playoff game is two regular season games or whatever. So I think if that hit happened in the middle of November, Scheifele's never done anything like that in his career. I just think the punishment was a little stiff, but the hit was really bad. So I almost like feel guilty saying the punishment was stiff. Cause I'm like, they want to teach him a lesson. They need to show that like you can't take runs at guys in vulnerable positions.
But this is the issue it's that comes up now.
It's the reactions in social media that make everything worse.
I don't think George Kyrgios reads Twitter.
I think it's almost into the culture where they have to be a little more. They have to be a little bit harder to that guy, just because of where we are in the world right now.
They did it to Kadri.
It's not a four-game suspension.
They didn't do it to fucking Tom Wilson. They don't give a shit about that.
Ryan Reeves.
Neither one of them did anything that bad.
Use the argument they like were appeasing social justice warriors for the hit because like they don't do that. They've shown that like there's no consistency. They spin a fucking
wheel.
They
do it sometimes. They do it sometimes and sometimes not. Yes.
But if they were appeasing social media though, they would have done it with Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom Wilson's thing was not suspendable. Tom Wendell's.
But that doesn't matter. We're talking about social media now. And if you're
you make a point.
I just think that, look at us agreeing on things. I just think like, I thought I was expecting two games. I was a little bit surprised at four because, first of all, you guys want to know my tinfoil hat. My tinfoil hat theory was that he was going to get a shorter suspension because the NHL knew everyone's going to watch Scheifele's first game back.
If they would have given him a fine, man, can you imagine tonight's game? I'd cancel my tea time. I wouldn't be going golfing. I'd be watching the fucking game.
That's why I was surprised that it was four, honestly. I thought they would be like, oh, people are going to watch this game for this.
I saw another theory that they just the NHL wants the Habs to go through.
Yes, that's the natural. I'm sure that somebody in Montreal called 911 for that hit as well. But my thing, I just want to say, and I know that you guys all feel this way, and I think it's kind of starting to leak out there now too, is Nick Ehlers on that play, you know, the complete opposite, right? Like the sportsmanship that he displayed defending. Rick, are you mad at Nick Ehlers?
These guys do this stuff all the time. They try and get their body in the way of like stuff like that. I think it's a great job. I think it's fantastic. I just think we're making a bigger deal out of it than it needs to be.
But it's.
The right thing to do. It was the Lions' teammate. It was an opponent. Yep, 100% right thing to do. 100% great, fantastic. I just think we always blow things up too much and make too big of a fucking hoopla for this and that. The good and the bad. Everybody needs to calm down and bring their emotions in a little more check in the middle here, I think.
But Connor McDavid
both sides, the good things and bad.
But let's not forget that Connor McDavid had drew no penalties this playoff.
Yes.
I just want to throw that out
there. Or last.
I imagine the Winnipeg Jets found it was very, very odd to have penalties called against them against Montreal.
What the fuck? A trip? What the hell is that?
I'm at work. I look up at the TV and it's 2-0 Montreal in the first 10 minutes. I threw a fucking pen across the bar. I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I don't think we scored two goals in the whole goddamn series. How the fuck is this happening? It made you really upset.
Really upsetting.
Power plays in that game. In game one of our series with Winnipeg, we had one.
It's just like, how does this happen? But we're not, we've complained enough about the refs. Everybody. So have just we? Good final episode. Word. Well, for this season.
I'm not done with that yet.
Well, no, this next season is.
Tyler, you might want to cancel that tee time though, buddy.
Why?
It looks like the weather's starting to turn here.
Well, yeah, it rained for like 3 seconds out by my place, which is pretty close to the course. So,
yeah, I think we're going to see thunder and lightning time, boys.
Another quick thing I want to mention is Leonard Petrell, former Oiler, announced his retirement. If you remember, 95 games and 18 points for Leonard Petrell. He was a PK specialist, sixth round pick out of Columbus, 2004. He was here during the Aiken years, 2011, 2012. Yes. Yes, he was. He was here during the Aiken years. So good times. Shout out to you, Leonard Petrell.
It's the whole era of hurt. I don't know who was coach, who was GM, who exactly was on the team at the time. I just remember you're definitely around the time everything hurt.
Yeah. To quote Molly Crew, the theater of pain that whole time. shout out to Leonard Petrell. Thank you for being you. Tyler, you had a good story about him. Did you want to tell that, or are we just going to cut this part out?
No, that's all good. I had heard a story about a time when the Oilers and Jets had a bit of a mix-up on the ice, and Bufflin and Petrell went at it. And Dustin Bufflin turned to the penalty box attendant and said, "What's that guy's name?" And the attendant goes, "It's Leonard." And he was like, "What?" And he goes, "Leonard." And then Bufflin leaned back and said, "Hey, Leonard, fuck you." And he needed to double check what Petrell's name was, which really does sum up that era of Oilers players.
That scrap probably started to have something to do with Yak.
I think
do you guys remember the fact like Yakup, yeah. Like when Yakupov was here, Winnipeg hated them. Like they all went out, like when we played them 10 times in a row and every game, there was some sort of issue that they had with Yak. I don't understand what it was, but they definitely did not like him.
There, I'm looking at that team in 2012, 2013. There were some ghosts on that team. I forgot Yan Denis played for three games for the Oilers.
Three games for the Oilers?
Yeah. And that's Nikolai Habibulin. Shout out to Super Bowl Sunday.
Should have kept... Super Bowl Sunday.
Thank you. What was that for? What?
Reading names from that era of the Oilers.
Go ahead. Give us some favorites.
Okay, well, first off, Sebastian Bisalion's our fucking boy.
What year is he, though?
07 is when I have him here.
That feels right, yeah.
Give us some of your favorite ghosts here, Tyler. Just some highlights.
I'm a big Marty Gerber guy. That guy came and left.
Oh, man, I forgot he was here.
He was a fucking Oiler, baby. Marty Gerber.
Yeah, why not?
Come on. This is mid-July shit for us to be doing, though. 07, 08 is the year I'm looking at. Yoni Pitkinen. Are you fucking kidding me? That guy played for the Oilers?
The glass cannon from Carolina.
That one hurt me because I wanted a defenseman like Yoni Pitkinen from the Oilers for so long, and then he was finally here, and it was just
wasn't that good.
It just didn't work out, huh?
One of those guys who could move the puck. You look like one of those guys.
Eric Cole.
Good. Why did we put him on the left side? Can someone tell me why I put him on the left side? No. That dude lit up the world from the right. The way he could drive in on his backhand and drive to the net was that's exactly what we're like. Oh, this guy's fantastic. Look what he can do there. You know what? Let's put him on the other side of the ice and see what happens. And he might as well have been using a ringette stick because the guy couldn't do shit from the other side. Him on the fucking right again.
Later on in the offseason, we should put together our a roster of our all-time favorite ghosts. Some of our favorites, because it would be a hell of a list. Or a starting lineup of our favorite ghosts. Yeah.
We
just have a draft.
We're too early for these two, but if we were to do a draft of Oilers ghosts in 5 years, your starting blue line better be Jason Garrison and Mike Green, because we're going to forget about those guys in a few months, probably. And a few years from now, we'll look back fondly on the Mike Green era. Yeah.
Dude, I was thinking Matt. I was like, dude, Matt was okay. Oh, fuck. Mike was there. That's right.
Mike Green was three games? Two games?
Yeah.
Matt, I was hoping 8 years before that he was going to be here.
Ken Allen gave up a pick and the dude opted out before they returned. Classic.
Speaking of former Oilers, I want to give a shout out to Tyler and I specifically for the Luke Gazdick interview yesterday, and Dan Ferex set it up, actually, Real Life Podcast. Check it out. Luke Gazdick also announced his retirement. He gave us a little bit of history on his time at Edmonton, what it was like when he played his first game at Rexall Place. He gave us a cool Joey Moss story. Anything else I'm missing, Todd? Oh, you're going to want to hear his story about equipment decisions that certain NHL players make. I'm going to leave it at that. Hear it for yourself. It'll blow your mind. I promise.
Oh, it will blow your mind. Down. Make sure you're sitting down for this part, because it's it'll shock you from within.
So check out the Luke Gazdick interview from the Real Life Podcast. We did that yesterday. That's everywhere you get your podcasts from. Gentlemen, we made it. Finally. It is time for the Deuce Vodka Hot Cold Performers. Tyler, get your buttons ready.
Okay.
If you head on over to deucevodka.com, you will see some very handsome pictures of Brett Kissel holding bottles of Deuce Vodka. And as somebody who has tried it, somebody who has enjoyed it, I'm telling you that you will love it. Head on over to deucevodka.com/about. You will find a store locator, maybe some merch. I like me this Deuce Vodka hat I'm looking at right now. Got some nice tees that look really nice on any of you. Promise. Promise. DeuceVodka.com. Get yourself a drink. Enjoy responsibly, provided that you are of legal drinking age. All right.
Drop a deuce.
Drop a deuce. Now, we've argued. We've reconciled. We've made up. We've made waves. But now, let's get to the downsides of our last 7 days. Dan, I'm looking at you, your Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week.
Man, I got a few, but I'll choose the ones around the announcement this Tuesday, this last Tuesday, that the Edmonton football team finally has a new name. The Edmonton Elks are our name. And oh boy, the grammar police that came out and wanted to fight for the name of a team that, you know, wasn't that bad. The logo is amazing. The helmet's the best helmet in the league now. Like, we're going to have some fun with this. And people still just want to have some rage about something. And so the grammar conversation started up. Is Elks the plural of elk? It's, I don't know. I'm sure that's still up for debate and people are still arguing about it, but people that can't just see the forest through the trees on the new Edmonton Elks name, you're my Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
I was one of the people that asked if elk was the plural. I just thought it was.
But yeah, what I did. But then you didn't outrage.
Well, it took some serious digging. It took some serious digging to figure out the actual rules behind whether or not it's elk or elks or exactly how it goes. So
yeah,
it's worth a question, but they have an answer for it.
My big beef
that both are acceptable.
Yeah, and like my beef with it too is that like it doesn't really matter, because think when you're talking about the Oilers, do you say like, oh, I'm going to the Oiler game? Like, people will say that and you won't care, or oh, I'm going to the Oilers game. Like, they both work, and people just wanted to bitch about it for the sake of it. Like, as we get going here and as this name becomes the norm, no, you're not. It's not like you're going to sit there and be like, hey, you want to go see the elk play? And people are going to be like, oh, you fucking idiot. You don't know what you're fucking talking about. Fucking moron. It's elks. You forgot the S dipshit.
Come on.
Honestly, we always cover the mic when you're trying to, like, you covered the mic with both hands there. Is that,
well, you're supposed to,
does that get you something?
You're supposed to move your face away if you're going to yell. And then I guess he just changed his voice by doing that.
Yeah, I was adding effect.
I feel like I feel like I just learned something there. I got to get a microphone because I want to do things like that.
It's like a good way, I think, to like, you can talk nice and softly, but then you get like nice.
Yeah,
and
I dig it.
ASMR.
Yeah, ASMR.
For the record, I just asked if elk was the plural because I didn't know. I didn't care. I haven't gone to an Edmonton football game in fucking years. I will go.
It's because we haven't been allowed to. Just kidding.
I will go. I'm excited to go. Like Dan said, I think the logo's dope, actually. I was thinking of ordering myself a hoodie. They look sharp.
The only thing is it's a little bit close to Milwaukee stuff, I thought.
Yeah, a little bit, but I like that. Yeah,
it's also sharp. Close to everything else, like Alexander Keith's Browning rifles. There's a whole list of them. It's kind of a hard thing to change up the logo too much.
Keith is dead on. This is only on the side.
Mm. No, Keith is from the side.
We're done fighting. Next, who's up next? Let's wrap.
I got to Google this.
Tyler, I'll just send it to you. Your Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week.
Every time a team is eliminated or something bad happens, we got to go on social media and deal with every major outlet sharing videos of fans burning jerseys and spray painting things. And I have two takes on this. One, don't fucking burn jerseys. If a player does something bad, don't tag them or their family in stuff and harass them. Don't be a dick on the internet and don't burn jerseys and shit for attention. Secondly, let's stop reposting all of this shit as well. It's like streakers at a football game. They don't show them on TV anymore
because
you're de-incentivizing people running on the field naked. You don't want them to become celebrities. So for the people who burn jerseys and all that shit, quit looking for attention. We should probably stop giving them attention as well. So maybe this whole rant is counterproductive, but stop being assholes on the internet. Stop harassing players. Stop tagging them in your shitty tweets and stop burning your shit, morons.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
For the record, I appreciate streakers. I wish they were on TV. I love watching them run away from security. It's fun. I don't know.
One of the best videos in the last like 20 years was Fan Guy going into that boxing match. Remember that with the parachute? He had a website on the back of his body.
They all started doing that after a while.
It's a marketing opportunity.
Can I add one more thing? I hate when someone posts a video of them like burning a jersey, but it's clearly one of those $20 knockoff jerseys. Like, I don't have a problem at all with the people who wear them. Like, if you don't want to spend $200, fucking hell yeah. If you just want to support your team however you want, you do it. I don't have a problem with that. But don't try to flex and be like, oh, I'm burning my Gilmore jersey that you paid $27.99 for on VIPjerseys.web. Like, fuck off.
How about the people that can't make a decent fire also? Yeah. Like, it seems correlated between the people that burn jerseys and they can't make a decent fire with some wood. Or it's like they're so excited. Oh, we have a flame. Let's put our jersey in it. And then they, like, snuff it out with the jersey and they have to go over again. It's just so
you gotta dumb. You got to do it in that big fire pit or the big garbage can ones. You gotta fire it nice and roar and then toss her in or something.
You need pallets. We're talking I want to see. If we're doing a jersey fire, I want people to see it from space.
Do it in your living room. Just start the fire in your living room, and then by the time the house is burned down, you'll go viral.
Well, the roof and the walls will keep the oxygen, and will help it burn, right? Yeah.
And then when your house is on fire, you just toss that jersey up on the roof. It makes sense.
No, that's when you do the live Instagram, and you toss it in there. And you're like, exactly. What do you think now, Doug Gilmore? Thanks for losing the goddamn game.
It made me sad to see Doug Gilmore being like, hey, that guy's burning my jersey.
What the heck, guys? And also like, Doug, don't even pay them any. Oh, whatever.
Rick, you're next up. Deuce Vodka Cold Form of the Week.
Well, mine's a little bit closer to Tyler's there. I don't know if it's just basketball right now or if it's those are the only guys who are allowed, the first set of fans that are allowed in right now. But this type of fan interaction with players and the throwing shit on them and spitting on them and like, I don't know what it is, man. This isn't even like normal fanatic bullshit, right? Like, I get excited and they lose in overtime and whatever. I go on a 4-hour walk, but these guys are like literally spitting on someone who's like 10 feet away from you.
Like you would never spit on Graham Skilleter.
No, but I damn well give him my piece of my mind.
You know where the line is.
I would never, on him. No, I would never damn spit on him. How you just can't do that, man. Like this is ridiculous. It's honestly, I wish 50 Cent got up and knocked that guy in the mouth afterwards. Cause it was absolutely ridiculous.
Well, and respect people them for not doing that.
Well, no, like 50 Cent was standing, like, I don't know if you've seen this, like, dude spit on him, and in the bottom left corner of the video is 50 Cent with his mask on. He's like, well, what the hell was that? So even, 50 could have got up and, like, just taken care of this himself. Nonetheless, these people, I don't know who exactly you are. I really hope it's just in basketball for the next 12 minutes and it doesn't show up in baseball or hockey or anything else in football going forward. It's just, I don't know. These guys really got to get a hold of themselves.
Tyler?
Boy.
Oh, I'm next.
That escalated quickly.
You could say that about the whole podcast, really.
Yeah, we could use that once or twice.
My Deuce Vodka Cold Performer of the Week is going to be Leon Draisaitl getting the Ted Lindsay snub. Crosby? Really? Come on. What are we doing
Matthews?
Here? Matthew? What are we talking about? Leon Draisaitl, if it wasn't for Connor McDavid, would have been nominated. And I think it's dumb that they have some kind of rule that two teammates can't be nominated for the same award. Leon Draisaitl, I love you. We all love you. Can't wait to see you again, buddy. Not to mention, by the way, Draisaitl, when he goes on Instagram posts, we'll be back next year, all that shit. Love him for it. So the snub. That's my cold performer of the week.
I'm upset.
Also, can I say, like, you go to Leon Draisaitl's Instagram and it's all him like posting screenshots from Oilers games being like, fucking rights, here we go, oil country. Then McDavid's is just like, the new Addy Zero hoodie keeps me cool and comfortable while I go for my morning jogs.
Connor is the only one, like, because Cahoon was putting out Oilers stuff. Yeah. Nurse was putting out Oilers stuff. They all were putting out Oilers stuff. And then, yeah, you get a little Adidas drop from Connor.
Or it'll be like, before a big playoff game, oil country, I drink BioSteel. And it's like, okay, thanks, Connor.
And you know what? I also would like a BioSteel, Connor. All right, flipping the ledger, let's get to some positives. Let's end this off on a positive note. Deuce Vaca, hot performer of the week. Tyler Yaremchuk, you're first.
A report from a Finnish website. I saw it was shared by Peter Bau, who covers the Avalanche for The Athletic. And I'll just read to you the title. Mikko Rantanen reportedly got his $2,000 embellishing fine rescinded by the NHL after writing an 8-point report on why he disagreed with the fine. He showed it to his Avalanche teammate and they told him he should go to law school. Mikko Rantanen was so pissed off that he got fined $2,000. This is a guy who makes millions. Got fined $2,000 for diving that he stood up and he did something about it. He stood up for what he felt was an injustice in his life. And I applaud Mikko Rantanen for standing up and getting his money back. And you know what, Mikko? I hope you take your lady out for a nice dinner or something like that and put that $2,000 to good use, because I just think it's hilarious. You know what Mikko Rantanen said? He sat there and said this.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Dan, you're next up. Your Deuce Vaca hot performer of the week.
Well, boys, we're talking about a lot of disappointment this year for the Edmonton Oilers, but there was one bright, shining star, and it is our AHL playoff champions. That's right, Rick. The AHL playoff champions, because they are the only AHL team still standing. It's the Bakersfield Condors.
Like Edmonton.
For yeah. winning the Pacific. Hey, we're going to put a banner up at Rogers Place. I certainly hope so. We are the AHL Pacific Division champions. And for those of you who weren't following along with the AHL, none of the other divisions had a playoff. So by the two best words in the English language, default, the Bakersfield Condors are the AHL champions of the world.
Default's one word.
No, two words. Default. Anyways, Bakersfield Condors, you're my Deuce Vodka. Dropping a deuce. Hot performer of the week.
Ha! You know what time it is, y'all. The NHL is back.
I just had to add Stephen A.
That's fair.
I don't know what I feel like about this guy calling hockey now.
Stephen A?
It's bringing attention, man. So good, it's all good.
Sport. It's so good.
To the people outside the sport.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be a lot of people who watch hockey that are going to turn to this dude, but it's going to bring a lot of people that don't watch.
Oh, yeah.
We'll stay watching Frank Cervelli and Bob McKenzie and the new fans will
like
be.
That. It's nothing like that, because this guy just goes off. Like, his whole thing is like a character. And
he's a hype guy.
So over the top for me.
It's theater. I like it. Rick, you're next up. Deuce Vaca hop from the week.
Well, Dan, if you were giving it to someone from the AHL, it should have been Tyler Benson in that flow, because you guys should take a look at his hair right now. It's glorious. But I'm going to go a little bit closer to home. And I know it's not this year, but it is next year. And I know, and honestly, I thought Tyler was going to take this one. But it's the beer bats.
Huh.
Come on, guys. It's the beer bats.
It's on my list. Yeah. I just couldn't go with that.
It's the beer bats.
Yes.
Like, come on. Like, I can't wait to get down there. I don't know if we're going to have it this year or not, but the Nation Box. Do we just ask, like, can we get, like, 12? We ask for a dozen? Can we just get the beer bats by the dozen? Do we take them? Do we refill them up? Like,
what is a beer bat?
It's a hollow bat you're going to drink beer out of. So, okay, what it is, you know, the really big cups they have in Vegas? Like the one-yard or two-yard cups?
Yeah.
So it's a rip-off of that. There's a couple places in town that kind of do those. I don't even know what the hell they call them, but they're
tall,
whatever,
boys.
The 1 yards or whatever. The Skyhawks are going to bring them in. I don't know exactly how big they are or how much beer they hold, but they showed a little picture on, I think it was Twitter yesterday. And so it's just a hollowed out bat that we're going to fill up with beer. And then, I don't know, I can see us getting into a little bit of trouble with those things afterwards, but that's their problem, not ours. So, yeah, let's give it to the beer bats, the hot performer this week, even though it's not available probably for another 52 or so. The beer bats. Let's go for some Riverhawk beer bats.
I also drink a beer at Roger's Place and I get crazy.
See, I'm young enough to remember getting mini bats at baseball games.
I remember that.
Oh, the ones that they were keychains.
The thing about the beer bats that I think about is how warm is that baby getting? How quickly? So I'm going to be polishing back beer bats at a rapid pace, I think.
But if it's only like, dude, they're tall and skinny, right? So if they're only like a pint or a pint and a half in the hot, you're putting them back. Like I sit on the patio the other day and I had those Coronas were flowing, dude. Like I thought there was like a valve on it. You get out there, you're warm. You start putting them back. It keep you nice and cool on the inside. It's good health.
I very, very much miss the Nation Box and I cannot wait to drink beer bats in the sun. Just to wrap things up, my Deuce Vodka hot perform of the week is the Toronto Maple Leafs. Around Edmonton, we had all been feeling a little self-conscious, a little bit hurt, and a little bit fragile. And then all of a sudden, the Toronto Maple Leafs come and they wash away a lot of that pain and they made us all feel better. Because first of all, remember what they were saying when the Oilers got swept? Oh, McDavid wants out. They're wasting him in Edmonton. Oh, he's just, they've got nothing there. They can't win a playoff round. Well, the Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff round since Shrek 2. And I'll tell you, I had a lot of fun when they got knocked out. I had a lot of fun. The jokes were going.
Do you have some more of those? Do you have some more of those? They haven't won a series since? Come on, what else? Shrek 2, what else we got? What else we got?
I could put some things together here, I think, real quick. But, well, how's what year this,
was
Rick?
It? Because it was 04, I believe, right? It was the spring of 04.
The Leafs haven't won a playoff series since Drop It Like It's Hot. Huh? Oh, the Leafs haven't won a playoff series since Yeah by Usher. Huh? What a jam that was.
Dude, that was like
Cowboys.
Bro, for the summertime, that was hot.
That was a hot jam going to Cowboys on Thursday night. Woo! 2004. That was the last time the Leafs won a playoff series. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you because they made me feel a lot better. Schadenfreude is real. And I appreciated all of the shit Toronto fans were throwing our way. And then they had to eat it back so much worse when they lost. So hot performer of the week, Toronto Maple Leafs.
Woo! Friday, baby. Yeah, let's celebrate Friday. Woo!
Man, that just... I would love a White Claw right now, to be honest.
I got some.
I'm gonna drink 8 tonight.
You know what you could do? You just like toss a shot of Deuce Vodka in your White Claw, freshen that baby up a little bit.
Well, if you want, So if you want to, shotgun them, right? You just pop the bottom, pour it a little bit, then you get the vodka in there.
Jeez,
little tip. You could do that with the Red Bulls too. That was I don't remember where I learned that, but I learned that once.
Don't do as Rick says. that's our lesson here. All right, gentlemen, is there anything that we need to say before we wind down? This was a spicy one.
Been like
we
got almost fired up. 90 minutes.
We didn't even talk about the draft lottery.
Go Kraken.
Did you guys did that hair stand up on your arm when they first started talking about the draft? Like I wasn't paying attention, and then the words like draft lottery pop. Pardon me, excuse me. Like I felt like this is our time to shine. It took me a second to realize that.
So I didn't know until the day of that the Oilers weren't in it. I probably should have assumed, but I haven't been thinking about the draft lottery. So I'm like, it's our day. And then I looked at the odds. I was like, oh, no fair. I want to win the draft lottery again.
I was just upset that the Arizona Coyotes didn't have to be redrafted all over again and make chaos happen once more.
It would have been fun. It would have been fun. And it would have also been fun if Buffalo didn't win it. That would have been fun too. But I don't know how I feel about the Kraken just getting the second overall pick right now. It's fine, I guess. But whatever. That's a story for another day. Tyler wants to wrap this up.
I was really hoping they weren't going to get it first. But hey, can we just talk about one real quick thing? Since 2011, this is the sixth time that the team who started the year off with Taylor Hall has won the lottery.
It's amazing.
Six times in 10 years.
It is amazing.
That's incredible.
The guy's a witch. So this is my theory. If I'm a horrible
Out to Buffalo's GM this year. That's a hell of a move.
If I'm a terrible team in the offseason and Boston didn't already lock him up, I'm just being like, Tay-Tay, whatever you want on a one-year deal, buddy. Let's go. You will trade you at the deadline.
We'll trade you wherever at the deadline.
Boston, we'll give him back to you guys in like February. Don't worry. Just let us sign him right now. We'll give him back to you guys for like pennies on the dollar. It's fine. This is really about next June we're really worried about. So
Taylor Hall is a witch.
How about the micromanaging too by the Buffalo Sabres when Kevin Adams was like, the owner of the team just texted me to smile more. Like, holy, you get texts from your owner to tell you to smile more on television.
I suppose the thing is also, I have no idea who the top prospects are. Owen Power, I know, but like, that's the only one. I have no idea. I have zero.
Lieutenant Eric had a great line the other day. He goes, Owen Power, more like Owen. No, I'm getting drafted by Buffalo.
And with that, we will end it off. This is Oilers Nation Radio, episode 100 and something something. That's it. That's it.
Shout out Doug Gilmore.
Best wishes.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media to stay up to date and never miss a podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.